Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. You know me, I'm your aptly named host, and I'm glad you're with me. I'd suffer aginal respirations if it came to my attention that you missed today's show, Strategic Alignment. Dennis Miller wrote The Power of Strategic Alignment, his third book, because he's seen too many nonprofits expend time, energy, and money without achieving the success they hoped for. He wants to turn that around. On Tony's Take Two, I hope you scheduled your time off. I mentioned it last week. I'm very pleased now to welcome Dennis Miller. Dennis C. Miller is a consultant and executive director of Fairleigh Dickinson University's Center for Excellence. He spent over 25 years as a healthcare executive and achieved the status of fellow in the American College of Health Executives, FACHE, FACHE. In Italy, in Italian, facce is not very complimentary, so we'll skip the Italian. It's F-A-C-H-E. He's a regular columnist for the Nonprofit Times. He's at dcmillerassociates.com. And on Twitter, he's at npboardtherapy. He's breathing heavily because he rushed to get here, which I appreciate very much. Dennis Miller, welcome back.
Thank you, Tony. Nice to be here.
It's a pleasure. And we're in the studio this time. Last time we were at the Westchester AFP.
That's right.
Several years ago. It's probably three years ago or so, roughly.
Less traffic.
And I understand. Yes, that was much easier. You just had to walk from your booth over to where I was doing the interviews.
That's right.
But since then, you've written another book.
Yes.
Your third.
Yes.
On strategic alignment.
Yes.
What is the problem?
Why I wrote the third book?
Yeah, why did you do it?
I haven't worked with so many nonprofit clients. I realized that in spite of their commitment to the mission and their overall commitment to the sector, that many just struggle to engage the board and struggle to succeed. And so having done numerous board assessments and organizational assessments, I realized to that in terms of the difficulty of having everybody line, that the traditional strategic planning process needed to be shooken up and have a new way forward, and that's my concept of strategic alignment.
Okay, and what is it that we're hoping to align?
Well, basically, it's this. It sounds simple, but it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. Any organization or any individual has to have a real vision for their future. Oftentimes, we think of vision as just a vision statement that hangs on the wall or in some book, and we don't pay attention to it. It's absolutely crucial that we have a vision for where we want to go to and then have all the stakeholders internally and externally aligned with that, and that's usually not happening.
Okay, and those stakeholders, who are we talking about?
Well, certainly internally, we're talking about the leadership team and the board of directors or trustees. We're talking about the volunteers. We're talking about the staff. And externally, we're certainly talking about the donors and either government or appointed officials or key people in the community that want to be involved in the organization. It's very important to have everybody aligned. And it's also not just alignment, but it's also very important to understand today when there's a whole new set of competencies and non-traditional skill sets that leaders and board members have to have.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. And I think we'll have time to talk about some of those competencies and expertise that are required. So it really is possible. You've seen this. It can happen that all these internal and external stakeholders, constituents, can actually focus in and pursue the same direction?
Yeah, it does happen. I mean, I've been experiencing it with all of my clients recently in the past, certainly a couple of years, though I've been at this for quite a long time, a whole new concept of actually spending a lot of time up front, really doing an assessment of the organization and knowing not just its strengths, but obviously its areas for best practice improvement, not a SWOT analysis, which kind of leaves you with an empty feeling of what to do.
SWOT is the strengths, weaknesses,
opportunity, threats.
Opportunities and threats.
It was the old traditional way of people doing a strategic plan assessment. But at the end of the day, it was like, so now what do I do with this? From my point of view, it's about not only getting to know what you are, but helping them, helping the leaders, helping the board, helping everybody understand that today's competencies are very different. As an example,
okay,
usually in the past, an executive director was hired because of either their good program skills, the ability to write grant, good community relationships, and their passion for the mission or dedication to it. Mm-hmm. Today, the competencies for a good leader in a nonprofit are very different. Today, CEO stands for Chief Entrepreneurial Officer. You have to be the one that helps make things happen. You have to be building relationships. You have to have a visionary view. You have to be able to build relationships and build your brand. You have to be able to communicate your success and talk about your achievements. You have to find opportunities to collaborate with. It's a very different opportunity to be passively waiting for things to happen and hoping they do versus actively making them happen. That's the difference in today's leadership.
Yeah, interesting. The chief entrepreneurial officer.
Yes, I believe that.
So even large organizations, I mean, you used to work at good-sized hospitals.
Yes.
They still, at least at the leadership, but maybe even trickling down, need to be entrepreneurial.
I think at every level. I think that, again, I mean, I've been in the nonprofit sector or having worked for the nonprofit sector, even as a corporate executive from 30 years here. I think we have to think of ourselves with a different mentality. I think we have to think of ourselves not as nonprofit, which I think is a negative term, but just realizing that nonprofit is our tax status, not our business plan.
Yes.
And in order to succeed and have a mission, I think you have to balance that mission and margin. But I think it's very important today to be focused a little differently in terms of how you're getting your revenues. Too often we're so dependent on government and state public funding, it's not there, and we had gone into a panic. It's our opportunity to build programs that are impactful to have people want to invest in them, and that's kind of what my book describes.
I've had another CEO say the exact same thing about nonprofit being our tax status, not our business mentality, not our mindset.
Right.
It tends to create sort of a hand-to-mouth.
Yeah, and I think there's this, I hate to use the word, but there's almost a sense of self-fulfilling prophecy that we go around talking about, well, we're a nonprofit. Well, then you're going to end up not making a profit.
Yeah.
And if you have no profit, you can't steer it back into the organization moving forward here. I'm fully aware of the challenges it is, but I think you have to think very differently today. And the leadership must be a really different kind of skill set than they were in the past.
Now, it looks like you could use a drink of water after this walk. So go ahead. I'll frame this question long enough to give you a chance to take a sip. Okay, we're sharing the full experience with listeners. We want you to.
Absolutely, a little traffic on Route 80 today coming from Jersey. Normally not a problem, and three lanes going down to one was not good.
But you got here.
I got here.
You feeling all right now?
I feel great. Glad to be here.
Okay. I know you're glad to be here, but you feel okay?
I feel great, actually. Both. Okay. I'm glad to be here.
Right.
And I feel good.
Okay. All right.
And good to see you and Sam. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. We've got some obstacles to overcome now, though, if we're going to be aligning people to a common mission and vision, let's say vision, there's going to have to be a lot of compromise. People don't, especially on the external, I mean, the external constituents that you mentioned, sometimes boards, volunteers, sometimes they're not so willing to be compromising.
Well, I think it's true. And one of the great things about our country is obviously the tremendous amount of volunteerism, people committing to volunteer, being on boards here, and certainly the great philanthropic effort of people in this country. But I think in terms of so many of us, and I say myself included as a former, you know, CEO of major companies, so many of us do not do a good job of really identifying for board what we want them to do. We don't discuss the issue about financial resource commitments at the time of board recruitment. Mm. And the role of the board is dramatically changing. And oftentimes boards are like, I didn't know that. I wasn't sure that was going on. What's my role here? And I use an expression of sometimes, you know, people leave their sense of humor and intelligence at the door when they go into a board meeting. In yesterday, the role of the board was certainly beyond founder, was the fiduciary role, which was very important, overseeing fiscal policy, finances, budget, investments, budget, personnel. Then boards evolved and became more strategic and businesslike. Everybody had to have a business plan, a strategic plan. But today, a really mature board has to be a leader and partner with your CEO. It has to have a sense of ownership. It has to have a sense of being actively responsible for making things happen, not just watching them happen. And so today, the role of the board in alignment is very different.
Yeah. How does the board fit into this entrepreneurial organization?
Well, it's crucial because the board has to think entrepreneurial as well. As an example, I have an organization that right now, for years, struggled to have a new executive director who's done a great job. But the board was kind of passive. The board didn't expect to, you know, beyond making a contribution or helping out. Today's new board they have is energetic. Its leadership has new ideas. It's making relationships with other people here. It's bringing people to the table. It's telling their story. It's getting people excited about what they do. The board's role is very different today. It's not just passive. It's not because you like the mission or care about the mission. You have to want to roll up your sleeves and kind of bring it to the table.
And you mentioned this organization that where the board sort of turned over. That's a lengthy process, though.
It is. It's not easy. I mean, you know, many of us, you know, we identify with our organizations and we become attached to them, and it's very difficult. But as I say to people all the time, you know, good organizations evaluate their chief executive. great organizations evaluate themselves and their own board of performance, and that's kind of what I do a lot of. But it's really important to help them along to understand the rut. They're all good people, but oftentimes they're just sort of stuck in the rut, and they don't know really how to be more helpful to the organization.
All right, we're going to go out for a short break, and when we come back, of course, Dennis Miller and I are going to keep talking about strategic alignment. So hang in there.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you need a business plan that can guide your company's growth? Covenant 7 will help bring the changes you need. We are small business consultants, and we pay attention to the details you may miss. Our coaching and consulting services are guaranteed to lead to right growth for your business. Call us at 917-833-4860 for a no-obligation free consultation. Check out our website at www.covenant7.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Before we go any further, I want to correct Dennis's URL. He has a new one that I was not aware of, DennisCMiller.com.
It's launching tomorrow. And
okay. The associates are out the door.
Absolutely.
So don't go to Dennis. Don't even think about associates.
If Dennis C. Miller Associates will still take you to DennisCMiller.com with the tagline, Revitalizing Your Nonprofit Board.
Okay. Well, go directly. Go to DennisCMiller.com. Okay.
Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure. Our board. We spend a lot of time on this show talking about boards.
Right.
The board is going to have to be sort of, they are part of the leadership, and we need leadership to implement this very important vision statement, because we're all going to be strategically aligned to the common vision. We need to have leadership to create this vision.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in the old days, it was the board that set the vision and they wanted someone to implement it, which was the old title, executive director. Today, it has to be done in partnership. You both have to own it. So certainly the CEO has to be an integral part of setting that vision with the board here. But the difference is today, the board has to have a responsibility for making sure that vision is achieved. And what would be the measure of progress towards that? What are we going to do? What do I have to do as a board member? What can I do in terms of my own role here? One of the frequent things mentioned to me during a board assessment is many times board members don't feel as engaged with the organizations they like. And that's a common thing. What really falls onto the shoulders of is the board chair or board president, whatever the term is, and the CEO have to find a way to seek the individual talent that each person has and find a way to engage them in this process. Some people are involved with social media and marketing, find a way to tap into them. Other people are more involved in community relations or community affairs. Find a way to engage your board. The board has to be engaged on an emotional level to want to achieve that vision. That's the excitement. That's the thing that makes things happen, is bettering yourself and continuing to improve yourself so you're there to provide the mission for your organization.
You make the point in the book that leadership is how you make people feel.
Well, I do say this here. I mean, I learned this a long time ago, working with different people here. I say all the time that, you know, people as a leader, people will often forget what you said or forget what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And I think one of the mistakes that many people make at the top or leaders at the top is they think they can do it by themselves. They don't realize they need a team to do it. So it's very crucial. In my first book, A Guide to Achieving New Heights, the four pillars of successful nonprofit leadership, I describe, obviously, the characteristics of a good leader, which are really four basic things. A phenomenal ability to build relationships inside and the outside organization, but to build trust and respect amongst all the employees and staff, to have them feel you care, to make sure there's a person in charge. Number two, you have to be able today not only to be passionate about your mission, you have to be able to communicate your achievements and your success. You have to tell your story. In some cases, you have to pound your chest a little bit more than normal. It's a very different part of leadership.
How would you like to see the assessment process and the strategic planning process, I should say, be different?
Yeah, well, what I recommend is this year, and I mean, I certainly do a lot of them, but I mean, there's anybody who's sort of who's talented in sort of organizational development or organizational psychology or things like that. First of all, you want to take a look at your organization in terms of information. As a physician would take a look at history and physical x-rays or blood work before they did anything, you want to take a look at, you know, just get familiarize yourself. What do the financial statements look like? What do the annual reports look like? What's the marketing communication look like? What are the information that's going on here? Number two, you want to be able to schedule face-to-face confidential meetings with preferably all members of the board and key leadership team and ask open-ended questions. And they range from not just how long you've been on the board, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how effective do you feel the board is today? And if it's less than a certain number, ask them why.
We're getting to some of that board self-assessment that you mentioned earlier.
Right.
Not just evaluating the CEO, but evaluating themselves.
Yeah, and it's important, and evaluating their perspective on the organization, too. How do they feel about the committee structure? Are they involved in the committee? Is there a committee structure? Is there a vision? It's amazing when you ask questions, Tony, of board members about, tell me what your mission is, and they describe it pretty quickly. And then if you ask them what your vision is, they say, they repeat the mission. And oftentimes organizations, because we're all caught up in the alligators, we're all caught up in fighting the day-to-day battles, we often don't have a vision. And it's the one thing that will propel you forward more than anything else, to have a vision for your organization that everybody believes in. And then every activity of the CEO, every activity of the board, every activity of the program, every activity in your branding strategy, everything is geared towards achieving that vision and constantly moving forward. That's a big step today for boards.
We have to be very conscious of measuring our success toward the vision.
Yes.
We have vision, and then we have mission, and then goals, steps to achieve that mission. These all need to be measured, too. This is part of the self-assessment.
Absolutely. And I remember back in my early days, being a president of a large hospital in New Jersey, and the vision when I got there was to be the best community hospital in New Jersey. And it was like, what does that mean? How would you know whether you're the best community hospital in New Jersey? And so oftentimes, people's in the nonprofit sector, vision statements are, you know, to be the premier behavioral healthcare system, to be the premier human service organization. But how do you measure that? So part of the idea is, how are you measuring your progress? Are you achieving? If you cannot demonstrate you're making progress towards your vision, then you really haven't done a good job. So it's really crucial as part of the assessment, ask those questions. And here's a question that I think everybody should be asking their board is, I ask this all the time, as a board member, how do you measure organizational success? Well, how do you measure the board success? And it's a stimulating conversation. It's a little bit provocative, but that is so crucial to get them to think a little bit differently than the challenges they face every day here. And that's just kind of what we talk about.
What do people typically say?
They don't say. They say, well, we measure the bottom line. We're still open. We're still running. You know, the door's not closed. That kind of thing. But it's kind of a sad commentary when you're measuring your success just the fact whether you're still open in business or not.
Yeah, that's a pretty low threshold.
It's a very low bar to hold. And I think honestly, it's not a question that we often ask. And I think in one of my books, maybe the second book, The Nonprofit Board Therapist.
These books all get confused.
I'm
right?
Sorry.
There's so many.
No, but just,
I can't remember if
okay.
I said it in my first book or my third book.
I described this here. I said, can you imagine this scenario at a board meeting? I want to call the meeting to order. Okay, Tony, motion to approve the minutes. Sam seconds it. Okay, let's go on to the first item of agenda. Let's talk about why we exist. What's our real purpose? Why do we exist? And it sounds like, oh, come on, we got more. That's a really good question to ask. I also did a, workshop once. It really was funny. In hindsight, it was not funny. The organization wanted to raise $1 million. Now, I did more fundraising in my early days than I do now, but I have a lot of relationship with people here. And I told the organization that we're not ready to raise any significant money, but they asked me if I would do a retreat on fundraising. And when I got the retreat, my first question to them was, could you tell me what your top two achievements were last year? And it was just dead silence in the room. It was dead silence.
Oh,
someone says, we did our budget. Someone says, no one cares. Finally, a woman in the back of the room says, we do this program called PALS, P-A-L-S. It stands for Peace and Alternative Learning System. I said, what is that? It says, we teach young children who have been subjected to either sexual assault or domestic violence how to build trusting relationships with people again. That's phenomenal. I said, how do you communicate that to your stakeholders? They said, we don't do a good job at it. I said, that's why you're having trouble raising money.
Only one person in the retreat, this is a board retreat, only one person identified PALS as a success from the previous year. So they're not even communicating it within themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think we're, it's not part of the DNA on so many nonprofits not to be focused on achievement. It's focusing on the mission by itself here. Don't get me wrong. I'm a very mission-focused guy. I think it's crucially important. It's why I've dedicated my life to helping nonprofit organizations. I'm very passionate about it. But you have to be, nowadays, achievement-driven, results-driven. Why is that important? Well, because, one, it's because it's a good process to have. But two, funders, investors today.
Yeah, donors, are institutional and personal, and individual.
But they want to make a difference. I mean, just similar to someone wanting to invest in a stock down on Wall Street and see a good return, philanthropic people of every range, from small donors to large, they want to know what you're doing with it. They want to know, are you making a difference? And you have to some way be able to communicate to them the difference you're making. Plus, when you talk about your achievements, when you talk about your success, it changes the mindset, I believe, for board members to think, to go away from fundraising. I described the tin cup theory, where you feel like you're begging for your needs, and you begin to have a conversation about talking about your achievements and your success. Now the concept becomes, do we think we need to have investors in our success? The answer is yes. So it changed the mindset from talking about what we need as an organization to keep going to what we are achieving and wanting to continue those successes and those steps. It's very different.
This all means that we've got to ask very hard questions, because we're going to have to identify metrics
that we are going to review
and report on at the board to our stakeholders, as you're saying, they demand it. And we might not always like what those numbers have to say. First, asking the hard questions, and then getting the answers that may not always reflect what we'd like them to, month after month, quarter after quarter.
And not only that, I remember doing a focus group on with an employee group that I was doing a strategic plan with, and I asked, it was a behavioral healthcare organization, which I do a lot of work, and I asked this group, how many counseling sessions do you do in a year? And one of the top executives said, well, they don't know that because we don't give them that information. And, well, the whole point of this strategic alignment is that every employee at every level has to be aligned with your organizational goals. Their individual goals have to be aligned with your goals. And people need information. So not to have this information is sort of making a disconnect between your organizational goals and your individuals. It is very important that everybody get involved.
I would hope that's a number that everybody can be proud of. And if it's not, then we all need to work together to make it a number we're proud
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. And when people are focusing on progress and success and measurement, it's not about holding people to punish people. But and it's more than just accountability. It's having something to strive for. In life, we always feel better when we're striving for something. And it's important as an organization to think differently, not about poor me, we don't have any money from the government, what are we going to do? But today and age, you got to make it happen. And there's a responsibility that it can happen. Organizations at every level and every type can succeed with a new competency of leadership, with a new skill set of the board, with a passion to achieve your vision, with measurable records of success or points of success, and everybody being held accountable and measuring your performance accordingly. It's fun. It's a different challenge.
We're going to have to fund all this. So that's sort of a perfect lead-in to what you were describing. We need to have a plan for for bringing in the money to create all this.
Well, you do, but I think you have to start with something different than that. I mean, oftentimes we start with a fundraising plan, which involves something like this here. And it's a little, it sounds a little funny, but I go like this. So,
okay.
Typical development committee is like, okay, let's call the meeting to order. All right, who are we going to honor this year at our gala? We honored him last year, 2 years ago, or we honored her. So who are we going to honor? All right, who's going to chair our golf committee? Who are we going to have a wine tasting this year? How much is it going to cost? How much money can we bring in? And then we talk about, well, can anybody go over the major prospects that we were signed at last week's meeting or last month's meeting to talk about anybody approaching any large givers and the silence in the room? And then the development chair says, well, you know, let's table that until more people come to the meeting next week. Let's now talk about the table settings for the gala. We have a different mindset that people are just not engaged. They're terrified of fundraising. They're afraid of rejection. We have to think differently. You got to start with a case for support. Why would someone invest in you? Why should you be worthy of a gift? You got to start with that process. And then number two, what is the difference your gift will make? What's the difference? And then number three, obviously, the various ways that people can give. But you have to have a more comprehensive fundraising plan today. Yes, special events are important. I call them friendraisers or besides just fundraisers. Oftentimes, the fundraiser is an end to itself. It needs to be a beginning. We need to have cultivating people besides your annual pill. But people are the ones that give the overwhelming 80% of money in this country. And people, there's money out there. People will invest in you if you tell them about who you are, if you show them your excitement, if you show them your energy, if you show them what you're doing. There will be people in your community at every level that may want to support you. But if you come across with the tin cup theory, begging for money because if you don't go out of business, it's a very unappealing process and you're going to be stuck in the mud.
Well, your first question that you're suggesting asking of donors, you know, why should you give? I mean, you're asking it internally so that you can answer it externally. Why should you give to the organization? Well, that goes back to these hard questions that we're now asking. And we have, presumably, we have metrics that say, here's the reason to give because we're impacting lives. We're not just having therapy sessions, but we prevented 6 suicides last year.
Absolutely.
And hundreds of cases of depression were treated, and people got jobs that were largely unemployable because of their depression. And right, I mean, this is the why.
How many people that have been homeless, but now because we've developed a collaboration with the Behavioral Health Unit, are now ending the cycle of homelessness, ending the cycle of depression, ending the cycle of mental health issues, that so they can sustain employment or sustain family integrity. These are things we need to talk about. That's what people want to hear. So again, it's a very different mindset. And part, again, of my process of strategic alignment is assessing where you're at, looking at the piece that you put together and giving a plan of action to it. And it's all, again, really, Tony, about execution.
Okay, we're going to get to execution.
Right.
I mean, we've got all this in line, and we've talked a little about our funding plan. Is there anything more you want to say about the funding part of it before we get to execution?
I just think it's really important to make sure that everybody's on board with that. And what I here's what I want from my boards. Okay. With very few exceptions, and I'm not talking about, you know, billion-dollar boards, Metropolitan Museum of Art,
okay,
and very high-level Princeton University and stuff like that. What you really kind of want is, I don't want my board members really asking for money, honestly, because they're going to ask for too low. They don't know how to do it. I want my board to help me identify 2 or 3 prospects every 6 months, people that they can help me have an introduction to, a breakfast meeting, they can come on a tour of our facility. I want board members to help me build relationships. I will do the asking, or we'll work as a team in building a strategy for that. But I really want my board to take on a different role. Not just the board how to be asking for money. It's much deeper than that.
We're going to take a little pause just while I mention something that is important, I think, for you. And I mentioned it last week, so I'm sort of wagging my finger now, and I hope you are thinking about your summer and fall vacation plans, because it's now spring, and as I said last week, if you are going to be a giver, and we all work in giving professions, that's why we're in our missions and doing the work that we get so much joy from. If you're going to be doing that, if you're going to give, you got to take, and taking is time for yourself. So again, a little finger wag. I hope excuse me, I hope that you are planning for your summer and or fall time off now, while there's still time to do it and time doesn't get away from you. And that's very simple. Tony's Take Two for Friday, 11th of April, 15th show of the year. You were nodding and chuckling a little bit.
I did take time not too long ago. I go to Aruba annually.
Okay.
And I was out in California, Southern California, where my son got married. So it's 85 degrees out there. But as you all know, we went through a horrible winter this year. Thank God it's springtime. Thank God it's April. I don't see any snow on the ground. I hope there's no more coming here. But it was a very tough winter for people. But I agree with you also that it is crucial for every one of us to take some time for ourselves, and both either with family and friends or just time away for it. You need to recharge. Everybody's working so hard. It's so difficult for so many people and so many organizations that just struggle, who are really good people. So you need some time away to kind of refresh and recharge your batteries.
Cool. Thank you for that endorsement.
It's a good time to have a retreat. Springtime's a good time for a retreat.
Well, that's work, though. Board retreat?
But can be, it could be energizing. Should be energizing.
Okay, should be energizing too.
Should be like,
right. I guess, well, that's, we should be having fun. You're right. It's still work, but we can have fun.
But it should be fun. I mean, if it's not fun, it should be fun. I mean, it's hard work, but it should be fun.
Absolutely.
Making a difference in the life of someone else, it should be fun.
You're absolutely right.
It's healthy. Yep.
There's no distinction between work and fun. I know I enjoy the work that I do. It keeps me busy, but It's fun doing it. It doesn't feel like work.
I like, you know, my consulting practice. I love being a part of the program at the university for Center of Excellence on Leadership Development and our certificate programs and writing my books and articles. But I love just working with people and organizations. I love it.
And that university is Fairleigh Dickinson.
Fairleigh Dickinson University. Okay. It's a Center for Excellence, Leadership, Governance, and Philanthropy. And the URL is fdu.edu/CFE.
CFE.
CFE.
Center for Excellence.
Next month, on May 14th, we have our second annual Conference of Women in Nonprofit Leadership at the Marriott Glen Point in Teaneck. Last year was sold out, so we're looking forward to a great program this year.
Let's turn to our execution plan that we all need to doing a lot of planning. We got to execute.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody who's been listening, everybody knows, it's exciting to go through strategic planning most times. Then what happens is sort of like a sugar high, and it's a lot of exciting beginning, and then at times implemented, and then all of a sudden, you know, kind of wears off in day-to-day challenges. So, you know, what are some of the reasons difficulty of implement? First of all, we don't always have people trained to take strategies into operational realities. That's one thing. Number two, sort of the silo mentality that, you know, it's not my job, it's someone else's job, and protecting your own, you know, back end and turf is a problem here. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes, and I just found it to be completely true in my experience with clients, is that where most people think the reason for a failure is because of external environment conditions, I actually think it's the internal issues that prevent people from success.
Well, blaming the outside, the external that you have no control over,
it's easier.
It's very convenient.
Yeah, I know. So I was, I had lunch yesterday with a great, great friend of mine I've done a lot of work with, and he's a fantastic guy, and he's got a good organization, but he is not always comfortable, obviously, addressing performance issues, and so they get skirted under the rug, and then everybody else sort of gets demoralized. So execution is crucial. I mean, what we find too often, Tony, is strategic plans sitting on a shelf collecting dust.
Yeah, that's very common.
And again, so the board is happy in the beginning, the idea of, we address these issues, but then it's measuring results. And one of the things that I recommend is actually having an assessment of your strategic plan 1 year after implementation to see how far you've come, what you've achieved, and what maybe need to be achieved, and what are the obstacles here. So the board's role and CEO's role is execution. And it's rarely because there's no plan of action. There are no detailed responsibilities. There's no timetables. There's no accountability. And so we have team meetings, and then we go away because we don't get along with our team. and really, it's the CEO's job to make sure that he or she is building a team, is giving people feedback, and holding people accountable. I mean, you know,
and timetables. So we're assigning responsibilities, right, and time frame.
Right. And if there's an obstacle, then as a team, address it. You know, I worked with an organization, what I won't say whose name, you know, not too long ago, and, you know, they point fingers at each other, it's not my problem. Well, actually, it's a collective problem. So sometimes issues can't be solved by just one person. It needs a team approach. We should be working as a team approach here. I just think that it's crucial in terms of execution to hold people account. What I was going to say was before, and oftentimes, you know, in the corporate world, which I was for 7 years as an executive running a healthcare practice in the Northeast for nonprofit clients, people were given a lot of responsibility, but they're held accountable. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the stereotype in the nonprofit world is people were often given a lot of responsibility and very little accountability.
Yeah.
We sort of have, we don't want to let anybody go. We don't want to upset the cart. And yet what happens is that when performance isn't driven, it impacts everybody else here. So execution is ultimate responsibility of the CEO. And that's when I talked about, you know, the entrepreneurial role today. The leadership competencies are very different. Execution is crucial. Sitting on a shelf is an investment. You put all that investment, you can sit on the shelf. It's important to see what happened. Maybe did something change? Why isn't, example, one of the clients that I'm just finishing work with wanted to build from a behavioral healthcare program that was more of an outpatient based upon grant funding. They wanted to build a more of a fee-for-service program to address the increasing number of people insured through the Affordable Care Act. But yet, it didn't seem to be happening. Why? Well, they weren't organized. They didn't have the right management team in place. I was able to come on and make some suggestions to promote this person and move the person along here. So it's really crucial to find out, well, why hasn't something that you set as a goal, why isn't it being achieved? It's really important to take a look at that. You made too much an investment. It's too important to not keep going.
Let's talk a little about this breaking down the silos.
Yeah.
Because now we're invoking courage, which I mentioned before, that courage from above.
Yeah.
We've got ego, we've got personality, we've got turf. These things are not so easy to get everybody, to get broken down and get everybody collaborating.
It's not easy. I mean, we're human beings. We have a tendency to protect ourselves and protect our little turf here and our own little egos here. But again, it comes down to leadership and accountability. One of the things that I did back in my hospital days, I remember, when I became president of a hospital, you know, the board recruited me and told me this hospital was doing so well financially, which turns out it wasn't, but they told me it was doing well in patient satisfaction. When I got there, I found out actually that we were in the bottom quartile in the country. A little alarming, right? And it was actually embarrassing. But one of the things that I did was provide an educational training program and a focus to that to remind everybody that everybody who works here is actually on stage. You know, if you go to a Broadway show, and I'm not a big Broadway guy, but my wife likes to go, if you go to see Cats, whatever, they're putting on for 10,000 times, but it looks like the only time they ever put on for you here. I tell people, you know, people come into our organization, whether it's the hospital organization, it may be the first time they've seen in a hospital. It could be the best day of the year. The delivery of a newborn baby. It could be the worst day. Their grandma has passed away in the ICU. It could be a tragedy happening here. But everybody who comes in is somebody's mother, father, brother, sister. We have to have accountability to how we're going to be treating those people, how we're going to be saying hello, how we're going to be providing people that look lost directions. It comes down to leadership again. Leadership has to be able to know their personnel. They have to know their leadership team. If the leadership team is not working effectively, it transgresses all the way down to the entire organization. I did this organizational and vision setting process for someone, and all you kept hearing when I did employee focus groups was how, you know, all those people in administration. Because why? Because the people in administration talk about each other in a negative way. And so it's important to address it. And I think you can develop team goals, collaboration, so people don't feel as threatened. But it's absolutely crucial to let people know what they're doing well. But as a leader, it's crucial to be able to communicate to people the need to be able to work specifically with other people, and when they're not, address it and give them some improvement. Most people want to do it. Nobody misbehaves intentionally, but it's really crucial in today's nonprofit setting to be strategically aligned to achieve your vision, achieve your goals. You must be internally aligned, and that requires leadership to address it as well as human resource functions.
Because we're talking so much about healthcare, I'm reminded that I was walking through a hospital once, and the guy who was carrying a ladder, you know, clearly the facilities maintenance guy, he said hello with a bright smile. you know, and it just it struck me. I mean, and the guy's got a ladder on his shoulder, and he's still greeting me and saying hello.
I've seen nonprofit executives who may have different locations, and their employees don't even know they are. They don't even visit them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so common, right? Multiple locations. Everybody comes to them. Everybody comes to the CEO for a meeting, and or the university president with the multiple colleges or something. Everybody comes to them. How often are they getting out?
I went to grad school at Columbia School of Public Health and Administration back a long, long time ago. And my professor said to all of us one day, he said, listen, someday you guys are going to work in hospitals. Put your books away. Put your contracts away, your budget. Walk down to the emergency room and remind yourself why you're there.
Yeah.
And it was a lesson that I've always learned. And I think the same thing is true here. As a leader, step away from your desk. Mingle with the people that are doing the programs. Have a conversation with them. Go to Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks. Bring in some coffee. Buy some donuts. Take a tour. Hear what they got to say. I mean, the first time they'll probably think something critical happened. That's why you're there. Something bad happened.
Yeah.
But it's crucial to hear what people have to say. People need to be heard. When you listen to your employees, they feel cared for. It's all part of the alignment process. It's crucial. You can't afford not to have everybody's energy aligned. And that doesn't always happen the way it should.
Because the leadership is so important, the board, in addition to assessing itself, the point you made earlier, does need to be doing CEO assessment also, and moving out someone who is not providing the entrepreneurial spirit that and leadership that you're advising.
Yeah, and listen, no one's looking to be firing people if you have that sort of the end product of it.
Yeah,
but
okay,
there's so many organizations that they have not evaluated their CEO, and there's so many COOs I've asked that have never evaluated their own direct reports, and so it's crucial perform. There may be a requirement. There is requirements, accreditation, a lot of things to have a performance evaluation. Everybody dreads them. But that's the paperwork. But it's really crucial, if you are an effective leader manager, be able to address on an everyday basis the things that people are doing well. Pat them on the back. I just had someone tell me, the problem with our supervisor, it's all critical. It's not a pat on the back. And so performance evaluations should be a re-energizer. It should be able to say, Dennis, this is what you've done well, and focused on the good things first. But Dennis, these are the two things I'd like you to work on. I don't want you to work on this, and I want you to work on that. That would be important, and this is the impact it's having. It's crucial to do that. And so you have to evaluate people, and you have to evaluate your CEO. If your CEO can't always do it, one of the things that is necessary or investment, have a performance coach, have a life coach. I do a lot of performance coaching for CEOs and board members. It helps them get on track. It helps them have an independent, neutral person that they can talk to about their issues they're having and support them. So you want to always find the upside. You want to help people get better. Only when all else fails, you end up coming down to terminate people. But sometimes it's you have to do it.
Empowering too. I mean, the board empowers the CEO, and maybe it is through some coaching. But then the empowerment, of course, has to trickle down. The CEO needs to be doing the same for their reports.
Yeah, and you can't. There's too many CEOs or COOs that do everything themselves and don't delegate and stuff. And that's not why you're hiring people. And so that's not effective use of your time to be having, 12 direct reports and going over all common reports. That's not effective here. So. It starts with yourself, though. It's very difficult to empower someone else when you don't feel empowered yourself here. And, Listen, I mean, in a hospital, so you have to allow people to make mistakes. Now, you don't want them to obviously, you can't give the wrong blood and do things like that. But, sometimes people have to make mistakes and grow, and they learn from them. And I think you got to encourage innovation. You got to encourage your employees to take a chance. You got to encourage employees to take a risk. Let them know that you support them. Take a crack at a new program. Take a crack at a new angle to it. Do something differently. Give them the authority to take risk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's crucial.
What about let's talk a little about board recruiting.
Yeah.
The board is so critical.
Right.
What's your advice around getting the right people on the board?
Well, it is crucial. And here's a couple of things here. First of all, I advise my clients to move away from sort of the board nominating process to a board recruitment process. And let me explain, Tony, and to our listeners what I mean by that. First of all, what I recommend to my clients is they should have and develop an ideal board matrix. What does that mean? Well, if you were building your board today, what would be the ideal attributes, talents, or expertise that you would want on your board?
Mm-hmm.
What are the geographical areas of diversity may you want? If you're involved in Westchester County, do you want everybody from White Plains, or do you want other parts? If you're involved in a city, do you want everybody from Manhattan? You want people from the Bronx? How about, you know, other terms of diversity on it? What are the skill sets you need? What corporations or philanthropic entities may you want someone on? So you have to develop that set. Number two, you take the same thing for what you currently have. And the difference between the two should be your board recruitment strategies. It's okay to nominate people, to recruit people you know. But more importantly today, it's about recruiting people that you don't know, but finding a way to get to them. That is really the talent of board development today. It's not just nominating people, but if you have an example, if you say, we really could use someone that is really expert in social media, marketing, internet communication, you may not know someone, but who talk to people. Who might they know? Who might they know in another corporation? Find someone they don't know and then talk about the process. Number two, we often don't do a good enough job talking about why we should have people on our board. I mean, if your board is not energized, if your board is not excited about it, if you're not an excitement organization, if you're not striving to be a winner, you're not going to recruit anybody. You have to be able to pound your chest a little bit. You've got to be a talking record organization. It's crucial. People want to be part of a winner. And obviously, you know, the loudest voice sometimes get the right person.
We got to go away for a couple moments. When we come back, of course, Dennis and I are going to keep talking.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Claire Meyerhoff from the Plan Giving Agency. If you have big dreams but a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio.
I got live listener love that I wish I could send, but we're pre-recorded today. I think I can pretty well wing it. We know we've got listeners from in Japan and South Korea and maybe even Iran, certainly China and coming domestically. California, maybe Agoura Hills is listening. That would be Mark, I think. But other listeners from California, New York is always checking in, Texas, Washington and Oregon sometimes.
Hopefully Santa Monica. My kids live in Santa Monica. It's a great city.
If you told them to, then they're here. So live listener love to everyone who is listening live. And, of course, podcast pleasantries I just said podcast. Podcast. That's awful.
Say that five times.
Podcast pleasantries. I say it all the time, but I'm sending podcast pleasantries to everybody who's listening in the time shift, wherever you might be. Very grateful for all of you, the vast majority of our 9,000 listeners.
If I can just add something to what I've said, we talk about a lot of different things, you know, leadership, board development, board recruitment programs and stuff. I think it's not easy to be successful. It's not easy to move your organization forward. To do so takes courage. It takes a commitment. It takes the ability to not always make everybody comfortable. I think organizations, Tony, that need to change is sometimes you have to become uncomfortable in order to grow. And far too often, you know, I'm not talking about going out and alienating people.
No, but that's part of the entrepreneurial spirit,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
is being uncomfortable.
But there's time in every organization to make changes. I mean, there's some organizations. I worked for an organization once that had a 100-year history. And it's certainly gone through, you know, multiple little changes here. But I've done a lot of work with many organizations, many Make-A-Wish chapters that, you know, into their 40th year. And the leadership that was necessary 20 years ago, 10 years ago, is not today. The kind of board member that people needed is not there. Change is crucial. What I hope from people, whether they are listening to the show today or they read my books that they can find on, you know, DennisCMiller.com through Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, I hope that they find the courage. I hope they're energized. I hope they feel inspired because I do believe that there is a way to succeed. I do believe there's a way to a better life for these organizations. I have tried to lay out roadmaps for them, whether it's leadership, board, or organization. There is a way, and there's many people out there every day. There are millions of people across this country who get up every day to try to make a difference in the life of other people, and I admire that. I'm glad to be part of that. But it's not easy, but it's crucial that change is required.
What's an ideal board meeting?
Good one. An ideal board
meeting. Finally, I got one good one in the whole hour.
Yeah, it was very good.
I got one decent one.
An ideal board meeting is focusing more about tomorrow than yesterday.
Well, it's lay out an agenda for an ideal board meeting.
Well, board meeting, I think I would take a little bit of time just kind of give. I think, first of all, an ideal board meeting has ideal committee meetings.
Okay.
A good board has a committee structure. Okay. You don't want to do all the work there. I would say a good agenda would be to have a relatively brief update on key issues about the financial picture, updates on the strategic plan, or updates on board governance. I think it's more important for a good board meeting to be focused in on tomorrow's activities. Have the board engaged in about tomorrow. I tell people as sort of a thermometer, if your board meetings are spending more than 50% of the time talking about yesterday, you're not having an effective board. Mm. I mean, board meetings should no more, 90 minutes, 2 hours maximum. If your board meetings are going more than that, they're ineffective. So an ideal board meeting is when people leave energized, feel refreshed, and they don't have what I call the rubber band theory of board members. Rubber band theory of board members, everybody has one. You know, you send out your packets a week ahead of time. Person picks up the packet on the way home from work, stops at the board meeting, parks the car, and takes the rubber band off the packet. Is reading the packet as they go into the board meeting. Yeah. Goes to the board meeting. Doesn't even have the ability to initiate an emotion. Goes home, and I second an emotion. I'm happy. Put the rubber band back on. A really good board meeting, a board agenda, is when the board chair is engaging people for discussion. It's when board members are bringing ideas forward. When board members are asking questions, board members should be asking questions. It's not about micromanaging, but the board should be challenging leadership.
Interesting. You said relatively short amount of time on things like the budget, fiduciary oversight. I mean, you may have an annual budget planning meeting.
Right,
okay, but
right.
this is not that. This is your average board meeting. But, you know, you don't need to spend most of the time on the fiduciary, like you're saying, looking back. Where was money spent, et cetera? More time looking forward, visionary.
Well, yeah, listen now, and that's how it should be now. Obviously, you know, unfortunately, in today's climate, most boards are spending time, you know, how to bring in money to keep ourselves open here. But I think, honestly, they're going about it the wrong way. I think that, you know, what I believe in very much in my heart and soul is about they're not going about talking about their achievements. They're not talking about their success. They're not talking about the difference in the lives it's making. If you begin the process about that, you will find the money. You will work to finding the resources here. So again, the ideal board meeting was when people. We had a great board meeting at the university today at our Center for Excellence board. Really did, and it was just we really were focused. No, truthfully, it's not.
I believe
just,
you. It
was energized because why? Because we're talking about how to build our own committee structure about social media, marketing, communications to the whole university. How to be looking forward to development of online programs versus just people in the classroom. How to be looking at our own board, which is now 2 years into existence. How to be, you know, redoing that. So it was an energizing because we're talking about tomorrow. People were excited about that. And I think that's what we need to focus in on.
Tell me what you love about the work that you do.
I love the people I work with. You know, I'm a guy that came up from nothing, no silver spoon in my mouth. You know, had a lot of issues as most kids do with family. Went to college, graduated late at the age of 28. Graduated grad school at 29 and became a CEO at 37. I just love the people I work with. I love what they do. I love what they're trying to do for the people in the community. That is what I enjoy helping them. I know I've helped a lot of organizations. I get a lot of feedback. There's a lot of wonderful client testimonials on my website. I just have a passion for what I do, Tony. I like it. I like people. I like life. And we're all here to make it better for everybody else. That's what I like.
Dennis Miller. You'll find him at dccmiller.com.
DennisCMiller.com.
DennisCMiller.com. Right, sorry. DennisCMiller.com. On Twitter, he's at NP Board Therapy. And you'll also find him at the Fairleigh Dickinson University Center for Excellence, which we know is FDU/CFE.
Yeah, FDU.edu/CFE. Even my mother called me Danny for many years. I had to tell my mom is Dennis. You know, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Dennis. Next week is Maria Semple returning. She's our prospect research contributor and our doyen of dirt cheap and free ideas, and she will have them for us next week.
Great friend of mine as well.
Dennis says good friend of hers, of his. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is our line producer. The show's social media is by Julia Campbell of J. Campbell Social Marketing. And the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. That music you're listening to is by Scott Stein. Be with me next week for Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.